welcome to Books Unbound, the podcast where we unbind books to get to their hearts with your hosts, us. It's Ariel and
Raylene in my new cardigan.
Yay! Last week's thumbnail on the YouTube had you like with your stack of when they were just squares. So now we've got an actual wearable item.
That's incredible. I like have gone so hard at crocheting this thing because I had to have it for this past Friday that happened just a couple days ago. And so it's all I've been doing. Like I just went crazy. I was a crochet fiend. And then I put it all together and it's so small, guys. Like when I tell you this sweater is not half the size I wanted it to be, but like it is very small. And that's, I mean, that's on me because I never check my gauge when I crochet or knit. Like I just made the squares and was confident that it was going to work out, but the squares are too small. And that's where I went wrong. Because this, I did everything else right. Like it's the right amount of squares. I didn't do anything weird. The squares are just maybe a little bit too small.
A little too tiny.
But it worked out. The sweater is cute. It's just not like a cozy, bulky sweater. It's more of a 3/4 length, almost cropped kind of vibe, which is okay.
I think that's in with the kids.
Right?
I think the kids like a cropped thing.
I guess. It's just a little tighter than I would like. Like, it's not comfy. It's not cozy. But it did look pretty good. And it was a hit at my party of three people. I feel like it was pretty cool. It wasn't the coolest garment that was crocheted for the party. One of my friends is very, very talented and made like a shawl that has a rabbit on it and like flowers and tassels and stuff. Like she really goes all out, but I'm happy with how it turned out.
First of all, I'm going to close this curtain because I'm seeing an intense glare.
Oh, no.
But secondly, I think it's absolutely stunning. I did see your friend Julia, who's been on the pod.
Yes.
I saw Julia's beautiful shawl, and I was like,
it's crazy.
That's crazy. But I think yours is crazy cool, too. Like, I would expect that in a store.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. I've been trying to figure out, like, how to get rid of it, but maybe I'll just keep it.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see. You got to lean in and see maybe... maybe it will inspire you to become more cottage core.
Maybe. I'm also like wearing a cute dress. Like I'm wearing my outfit today minus the flower crown because I also made a flower crown. But I did take some photos. So maybe we'll have a couple of those here.
Yeah, we should insert some here.
I feel like the whole look was pretty cute. And I felt really good that day. Got some good photos of me, which I haven't had in a while. So
I also felt like your peach hair really went with the like floral spring vibe.
Yeah, like the color palette maybe isn't perfect, but it does all fit. It all tracks.
So as everyone listening can imagine, before we record an episode, we talk for a few minutes to like make a little game plan. You know, we're like, what are we talking about today? What should we fit in? What segments do we want to do, etc. And we have some really... something really fun happened this last week. Like something really fun and silly happened last week that we were like, we've got to lean in and make the majority of this episode about that really fun thing. But also, Raylene kind of had a crazy busy week
I did, the busiest week.
So let's start with the personal updates before we move into this fun podcast thing that happened, which completely impacted what we read this week.
Like, yeah, it
the
derailed
only thing
my
you
plan.
Read this week was because of this fun thing that happened, and we actually ended up doing a buddy read of sorts because of this. Listen, when life gives you lemons, you make lemonade.
100%.
You make a lemony treat. And so we made some really good lemonade, I think. Let's start with our personal little updates and stuff. So how about you start us off? Like, why was it such a crazy week?
Yeah, okay. So like I mentioned last week when we recorded Tuesday, the 19th of March was Kyle's birthday. So it was a huge day because of that already. I had all these fun things planned. I basically gave him a bunch of different envelopes for like food and activities. And basically he had to roll a D20 to determine what we were going to eat or what we were going to do based on the options I had given. So that was a lot of fun. But it was a pretty chill day, I would say. Because the other thing that happened on Tuesday was the Stardew Valley 1.6 update came out, which for those who don't know Stardew, you won't care. But for those who do know Stardew, like, it is so good. So Kyle agreed to play Stardew on his birthday, which I couldn't believe. I also played Diablo with him as a gift back, you know, just given back to the people, because we played Stardew for like 5 hours that day. That's but anyway, awesome. So that's been a big part of my, I wouldn't say my week, because I honestly was too busy to play, but on Tuesday we played a lot. I played a lot yesterday, and it is fantastic. Cool. So that's the other big thing. And then on that Tuesday, this crazy thing that we're going to talk about later also happened that day. So it was, I was on cloud crazy nine Tuesday. That day. Yeah, it was the craziest Tuesday probably ever that I've ever seen. But then I spent the rest of the week finishing this cardigan. And then Friday was the big day. My friends and I got together and had a sleepover. And we woke up at 6 a.m. on a Saturday because we wanted to watch the sunrise for Ostara, which is the spring equinox Sabbath that we were celebrating that day. And
yeah.
So we woke up really early, but it was pouring rain. So we saw no sunrise, but we were awake. We had a feast of quiche and lavender scones and things like that. It was very
so
fun.
So what time was it when you had the feast?
Oh, like 7.
That's so funny because I don't remember the last time I ate food at 7 a.m.
Me neither. Like, it was crazy. But because I had woken up so early and was just so excited for the day, I was actually hungry. I was like, this is crazy.
Okay, that makes sense.
We drank a lot of coffee. Like, we just woke up and went hard. And we had blue, like, iced lattes. Like, it was a very cute morning. And then we went out and took photos, went for a walk in the rain. And then I was up so early that I just had, like, the entire day to do stuff. So... yeah, so those are the main things. But then on Saturday, so that was the morning of Saturday. And then on Saturday evening, I had to go to a emo-themed birthday party.
I forgot that was this weekend as well.
It
my
all
God.
Happened on the same day. So I went from cottagecore in the early morning to emo at night. And so I got together with my friend. It was her 30th birthday we were celebrating. And she was like, all right, this is like a RIP 20s party. And so we went emo themed. And so I got all dressed up for that, which was really fun. And then I went to bed super late and woke up again early in the morning yesterday because that's my new goal. I want to be an early morning person.
Oh,
and I
want to
do
really?
Yoga.
Yoga in the morning.
I know. I did it yesterday and today. I honestly don't think it'll happen during the week because I already wake up at 6:30 and that gives me no time to do anything else. So I'd have to wake up at like 6. And I don't know if I'm willing to do that, but we'll see. So that's where I'm at. I'm kind of sleep deprived, but feeling good about life, feeling energized, feeling like I want to be better and do better. And
that's awesome.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. And on top of that, we had to squeeze in a secret book that we were both reading, like you mentioned.
A secret buddy read.
Yeah. So it felt really busy, and I'm excited to kind of get back on track now that all of my big events have kind of passed. Although I do still have another birthday party. That's coming up as well. I had to paint a sign for it yesterday. So I just been doing a lot.
It's really funny to me how many emergency crafts you
it's
have.
A lot of emergency crafting. That's true. That's most of where my stress comes from is like, am I going to finish it in time?
That's awesome.
But it's fun. It's all good fun.
I also had a really busy week. It was not as fun as your week, though. Basically, for me, it was a week of fixing stuff that had broken. So... my hot water tank broke. My upstairs toilet broke. My downstairs kitchen sink broke.
Oh my God.
I ran out of oil and I got a call from the septic people who were like, this is your 3-year reminder that it's time to empty your septic tank again. And I was like, oh.
It's all happening at
cool.
once.
Cool. It was all plumbing-ish related things that had nothing to do with one another. Like, it was so... it was so frustrating how none of them were connected. I was like, how has God forsaken me? Like, with another broken thing. Like, it was...
yeah,
it was
awful.
It's crazy. It's crazy. And so I was just, like, throwing money and time around like nuts. And I was like, this is so much... this is so much. So it felt really... it was honestly a very overwhelming week with that. But there was some fun things that happened. So one thing that happened, and this was also kind of out of left field, and actually did add to the craziness. Late last week, I got invited to submit a book, one of my handmade books, to an art exhibition.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So there's an art gallery when this comes out, it will still be open for another week or two. There's an art gallery in Halifax. And you know what? I don't know. I was imagining it was pronounced Hermes, but it's probably Hermes Gallery.
Yeah.
in
Hermes.
In the North End, there's a lovely gallery. It's really small, but they have a lot of cool stuff in there. And my book is on display. Isn't that so funny? But I didn't have a book. They were like, do you have a book that you could display? I was like, I could. And they're like, that would be great because we were trying to get together like a bunch of books for the exhibit. And I was like, okay. Like, this was my friend who is another bookbinder and was helping organize this thing. And I was like, I could. And then I was like, I've got to just make one from scratch. So I guess I also had a crafting emergency where I was like, I just spent all of Thursday night making a book.
That's so cool.
And then they asked me if I wanted to put it for sale. Mm. And I was like, are other people?
Yeah.
I've never sold one of my books, right? And she was like, yeah. And everyone's pricing them like between $50 and $60. Mm. And I was like, that's so expensive. I was like, sign me up for 60. I don't know. Also, the gallery takes half, so I would only be getting 30.
Okay.
So I was like, sure.
Yeah, that sounds fine. Good. I mean, how many hours does it usually take you to make a book?
That's a really good question. That one probably took me 4 hours to make. Mm. So that's not, and that doesn't include all of the supplies that go into the book. So I'm definitely losing money.
That's so
on
funny.
This
that's
thing.
How I feel about this cardigan. I was like, if I sell it, I'd be losing money if I sold it for anything less than like $500.
I know.
You know what I mean?
I know. Totally. I totally know what you mean. Because also, on the other hand, I'm like, I mean, the marbled papers that I made are sort of priceless in a way. Like,
yeah, true.
I'm like, I don't have many more of those. I can't make them again. It's like, it's got to be a, like, so I'm like, $30 is actually so cheap, but also for me to make. But also I'm like, wow, I'll be a professional bookbinder because someone will have bought my book. We'll see if that happens. I doubt it.
That'd
but
be really
it would
cool,
be
though.
Funny. I'll let y'all know. The other thing that happened was I went for a walk with my brother and his best friend. We were walking up in the North End of Halifax to try and find shawarma. And we did. It was delicious.
Good, good.
And then on the way back down the street, we walked past this shop called Aisle at Ease. Ooh. And I have their little business card because it was such a beautiful store, Raylene. When you come back, I'm taking you to Aisle at Ease.
Okay.
It had the prettiest stuff ever. Like, Sam McFarlane is the owner and designer. It says, I met her. She was so cool. And she just had such beautiful stuff in the shop. And so we can transition into our book haul here.
Ooh.
Because I got some pretty things.
Okay.
I got two things. The first thing is a book. They had like really beautiful coffee table type books. And this one was called Pool by Christopher Beanland. So it says, a dip into... See what they did there. A dip into outdoor swimming pools, the history, design, and people behind them.
That is,
you know,
such a specific book.
Yes. As you know, I'm obsessed with my pool, with my local pool. Mm-hmm. And it is a beautiful pool. And I was like, I got so excited to swim in the summer. And I saw this book and I was like, please, yes. And so I bought it. And now it's mine. And it's full of really giant photographs. And it's just so beautiful. So I'm obsessed with this book. I think it's
really
so
cool.
Pretty. And then the other thing that I bought, this is so funny, because it was a home goods store, I felt like I could probably ask and they would sell it to me. I actually bought the stand that the book was being displayed on.
That's crazy.
Isn't that funny? I was like, you know the stand it's on? She was like, yeah. I was like, is that for sale? She's like, totally.
Oh.
I think she said that they're like for recipe books.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. It would hold it open, right?
Like, it's beautiful as a display on a bookshelf. It's such a beautiful stand. I'm like obsessed with it, and it's adjustable so you can like display the book open.
Oh, wow.
It's got like a, this goes up and down. Listen, I got very excited.
That is
cool.
I
was like, I'll take it. So now I have a really beautiful book about pools and this really cool stand. So that was the first book that I got this week. But then the other one that I got was a total surprise. So Raylene messaged me a week ago and you were like, longer than that, like 2 weeks ago. And you were like, I sent you something. I'm like, what? What? Okay. And then a week ago, it got in, but I was away from home. Finally, I got back and I went. And I was expecting, like, you usually ship things in a specific type of box. Mm. And so I was expecting that. And it was an Amazon, not an, it was just like from a bookshop.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, did I order a book? I forgot. And so I was like, wait, no, Raylene said she was going to send me something. Maybe she just ordered me something straight from a bookshop. And so I actually filmed a video for Raylene of me opening it. Do you remember I sent you that?
Yeah.
Because I was like, it's like 6 a.m. for Raylene. I don't want to wait
far too early
hours for her to wake up. So I'll just record a little video of me opening an unboxing live. I guess actually the opposite of live.
Yeah.
Very much not alive.
Very much so.
Pre-recorded content. But I got to open up Unclean Jobs for Women and Girls by Alyssa Nutting. And because you sent it to me, you should tell the people why you picked this one for me.
Yeah, so I was just struck with inspiration because you have talked about reading short stories a little bit recently. And you were kind of like, you know, expressing interest in maybe getting some more and reading some more short story collections. And so I was immediately like, idea. That is one of my favorite short story collections. And so I was like, oh, I really want you to read this. I really think you'd like it. But also it has a peach on the cover. For those who aren't watching, it has a giant peach. Like that's the main thing on the cover. And so I was just like, you know what? I'm just going to send it. I'm just going to do this. And it's actually kind of funny too, because the reason I picked up that book was I was just at a bookstore and I was like, oh, that's an interesting title. I had never heard of it. I was like, I'll just give this a try. I just randomly blindly picked it up and ended up really, really enjoying it. So I really thought you would like it. And it's very, like, based on the title, it's kind of obvious, but it is a very, like, female-centered book collection, or, like, story collection. And it's just, like, a lot of different kind of weird stories. And like the first one starts out with a bunch of people who are like in a pot of soup, like being cooked. And it's like, what is that all about? So like it has some really weird stories, but they're all so varied and very interesting. Like I feel like it's kind of along the same lines maybe as the short story collection I read recently, what's it called again? Monsters of the 21st Century. I feel like I'm getting the title wrong, but yeah, that one. I feel like it's kind of along the same lines. And so I was just like struck with inspiration to send you that book. So
I was so excited. Instantly, I was like, the peach. Oh, peach. That's got to have something to do with that peachy hair. Part of it. But I'm really excited. And I think a couple other people recommended this to me as well as a collection they really like. So I definitely hope I read it soon. Because I want to keep, basically, I think I want to keep reading short story collections until I read one I love.
Yeah.
To, like, that's a reprove good idea. To me that I can like them. But you also got something this week, right?
Yeah, I received another book from Penguin. Thank you. Thank you. They're kind of just coming in a couple at a time. And I just got this one, which actually is short stories as well. It's called Green Frog by Gina Chung. And it's a short story collection with a cool cover. It's got a frog on the cover. And I, similarly to you, was kind of like, wait, I want to read more short stories because I did recently read Lesser Known Monsters of the 21st Century, that's the title, by Kim Fu, and I loved it so much. So I was like, give me more, give me more. So this one sounds really cool. I'll just read off the back because the thing about short stories, it's kind of hard to like explain what they are. They're usually just like little sentences that intrigue you.
Yeah.
So with this one, we've got a pair of talking dolls help twins escape a stifling home. A heart boils on the stove as part of an elaborate cure for melancholy. A fox demon contemplates avenging her sister's death. And true to life, a mother and daughter try to heal their rift when the daughter falls unexpectedly pregnant. Dun, dun, dun. So it sounds like it's got a good variety. There's some kind of fantastical elements. Like we know we've got an animal character, which is cool. So I'm very intrigued by this. And the author's photo on the back, she has cool colored hair. I don't know if you can see that. So,
oh my god, you're right.
She's one of us.
Gina's one of us. Looks like your hair.
It is kind of similar. Like it's just turquoise. Very cool, Gina. Very cool. So yes, I'm very excited to have that now.
That's awesome. All right. Well, that's our haul. Now it's time to talk about the fun thing that happened to us and how it affected our reading. So it all started like a normal Tuesday. There I was. I don't remember what I was doing. Something boring.
Yeah.
And then I get a text from Kaylee Hyde. Kaylee runs our Instagram because she's very good at it, much better than we are. And so she runs our Instagram and she always lets us know if something comes up or there's something we should look at. And I get a text from her that says, "What?" And just a screenshot. And I'm like, oh boy. And I click on it and I see that Kat Dennings, that's right, Kat Dennings has posted about Books Unbound. She shared our humble podcast.
I know.
On her Instagram, she said, "I really like this podcast." And it's our logo that she shared.
Uh-huh.
And then she said, "Because of that podcast, I read the I just bought the Kamigawa Food Detectives." And then she shared some images, beautiful images of her cat eating this book. Did you see those?
I didn't see those. That's hilarious.
I got screenshots of them because they were so cute. So we'll insert those here on the video version, but also on our Instagram for the audio version. And it's so cute because the cover of this book obviously has a cat.
Yes.
And her cat eating this book with a cat.
That's just poetically perfect.
It was poetically perfect, as they say. And so I read that message and I'm like, that is so nice. Like, I told my mom about this and she's like, "You just never know who's listening."
That's true.
Like, yeah, you're right. I didn't know that Kat Dennings, the star of one of me and my brother's favorite movies, Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist, love that movie, was listening to the pod. And so we're like, okay, this is so nice. And I felt like I would love to send her a message to thank her, because it actually is so nice when anyone of any size platform shares something
that's the biggest thing we can ask for, is people sharing the podcast.
Yeah. And it doesn't matter if you're just sharing it with your mom or if you're sharing it with a bunch of followers. Like, that's the way that these things grow and like more people find our podcast. So I was like, that's so nice of her to use her platform to share our thing. And also, it just makes me really happy because I love that she like literally bought one of the books that we talked about on the, like, I love recommending books. So I was like, I can't, and it worked, we did it, it's happening. It was the best. So I sent her a message and I was like, just wanted to say thank you so much for sharing. This has made us all really jolly. Really hope you like the book. And also, me and my brother love Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist.
Yeah.
Like, I know that's a deep cut from a long time ago, but I love that movie. And she responded, and she was so kind in all of her messages. And she said, like, thanks for calling out that movie, because she said that she had a really great time working on it. Mm-hmm. And we just had a very small but very friendly conversation. And I was like, I don't want to push it. I don't want to be cringe, but I'm going to push it a little bit. I was like, if I could just find out what her favorite book is, we could read it.
Yeah.
And that would be
good content.
Do it for the pod. Yep. Do it for the pod. So I said, what's your favorite book? And she said, oh my Lord. I have a few favorite books, but my favorite in terms of overall vibe and something I can't ever forget would be The True Deceiver by Tove Jansson. It's a short book, and I read it in one day, and it's very special to me. And then Kat Dennings called me out.
This is kind of what started it all.
Kat Dennings called me out. Kat Dennings said, I know you're supposed to read 100 books this year, so, and there's like 6 O's. And I'm like, no, Kat Dennings, you're right. I can't not read it. I have no excuse.
It's
I
nice
have
short
to read
book.
100
it's
books
exactly
this
what
year.
You want.
It's a short book. So I checked and my library had it. And I was like, okay, this is awesome. And then I told her that we would read it before the next recording, mm-hmm. which is today. But then I also went to Connor and I said, Connor, this happened. And thankfully the library has the book. And he said, I actually own that book. So Connor owned a physical copy of it. So I was actually able to read a physical copy, which was awesome. And we'll get into this in a moment, I love this book. So I was able to underline all of these great lines.
Yay.
And I'm really glad I got to read a physical copy. But Raylene, I then obviously throughout this whole thing was messaging you, and you were like, I'm going
to
find a copy.
I literally woke up to this whole thing happening. That was the first part. I woke up and was like, whoa, what's going on? but you kind of looped me into this whole plot.
Yeah. So how did you find your book? Did the library have it? Did you have to buy a new one?
I ended up finding it from the library. I had to do some digging, but they had it. And so I just read it on ebook, which was really nice. It was perfect. So it was my little late night reading. Every time I had a few minutes, I would just pull out my Kobo and read it. But before we talk about the book, something else that was kind of funny about this whole thing is obviously I was kind of telling people. I like told Kyle, I was like, yeah, like you'll never believe this. She was in Thor. And he's like, what? And I was just like, yeah, she listens to our podcast. So cool. So that's how Kyle knows. But then to my mom, we used to watch Two Broke Girls together. So I was like,
yeah.
I was like, hey, mom, do you remember the show that we used to watch? One of the actresses like listens to our podcast. And this is I'm quoting directly what my mom responded.
It's so bad. It's so bad.
She said, I loved that show. I'll have to listen to it.
Because she's going to have to listen to our podcast. If because Kat Dennings likes it. Maybe your mom will like it.
I was like, mom, if you're listening, mom, I think it's very funny and I love you. But that was just so funny. Like, we're, you know, 200 something episodes deep and my mom hasn't listened to a single episode moment. But the moment Kat Dennings listens, my mom wants to join.
I think that's so
it cracked
hilarious.
Me up. I was like, that's the funniest thing
I've ever
heard.
You sent me a screenshot of that and I was like, Raylene, can we please tell the podcast? Because that's so
it's
funny.
It's too funny. It's just too funny.
Maybe Kat Dennings got new listeners for Books Unbound, but most importantly, she got Mama.
She brought my mom in. Mama LeMay is here now. Maybe. Or maybe not.
That's so hilarious.
Yeah.
Okay, but now let's talk about the books,
yes.
Right? Let's bring it back to the text. Because we read The True Deceiver by Tove Jansson. Let's talk about this book.
Tove Jansson was born in Helsinki, Finland in 1914. Her first illustration was published when she was 15, and after attending art school in Stockholm and Paris, she returned to Helsinki where she worked as a painter, muralist, and as a writer and illustrator of children's and adult books. She's most well known as the creator of the Moomin's comic strip series, which were published into many books, inspired two theme parks, has numerous TV shows, films, and is incredibly internationally successful. The True Deceiver was published in 1982, and the English translation was done by Thomas Teal and won Best Translated Book Award in 2011.
All right, Raylene, I'm going to try and do a little summary.
Oh, please.
And you let me know if you think that it's accurate or not.
Okay.
This is a story of a spooky girl.
Yeah, she is pretty spooky.
She's spooky. Her name is Katri Kling. And she lives in a really isolated rural village. And I'm guessing it's in Finland because that's
probably
where the author is from. She's in this very remote village and it's set during winter. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit Game of Thronesy where, you know, they're like, winter is coming. In this book, spring is coming. Like, you're constantly alluding to when is spring going to come, but we're not. It's just not here yet. It's not here yet. Yeah. And it's like this, it adds this atmosphere of desperation. You're like, I just want to get out of this winter, but it's here. And so this book is set in this thick winter. There's so much snow. People are always slipping in the snow. They're like trudging, getting lost in the snow. And the story is about how she is trying to take care of her brother. She doesn't have, it seems like she doesn't have parents. I couldn't quite tell how long she hadn't had the parents for.
Well, she did say that she had been raising her brother since she was 16, I think. And it's been 10 years since then. So I'm assuming.
Perfect.
Yeah. She's 26 or something, and
decade. And I think it said that she's 10 years older than
her. Yeah, so he was 6 and he's now 16.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. So she's trying to take care of him. She's trying to be good to him. But again, there's this like eerie sense of desperation throughout the whole thing because she's in such a tiny, isolated village. There isn't a lot of options that she has for like ways to make money. And her current living situation, this is kind of the catalyst for the book. Mm. Her current living situation is no longer working out, so she needs to get them a new place to live. And this is where she cracks a plan, a sneaky plan, involving this older, elderly woman who lives on a hill in the village who is a children's illustrator. And this is where this really interesting autofiction comes in because Tove Jansson was a children's illustrator living in rural Finland who is most famous for drawing Moomins. Mm-hmm. So I was like, that's fascinating to me as well. Like, how much is this? It felt like Stephen King with like misery and stuff like that.
Totally, yeah. He has a lot of writer characters and stuff.
Writer characters that are like being stalked and stuff, where it's like kind of scary. And so it's largely the book is about the relationship between Christy and Anne, the old lady character, and how they're like navigating this really weird relationship. Would you put that? I'm trying not to spoil things, obviously. Would you add anything there?
No, I think adding any more than that would maybe give too much away. And the other fun thing about this was in Kat's messages to you, she said, try and tell me who you think the true deceiver is.
Yes.
And so throughout the whole book, that was in the back of my mind. I was like, is going on? And the main character has, like, she is kind of spooky, like you said. In the beginning, she's described as having these, like, yellow eyes. Like, she has kind
truly
of, like...
truly yellow eyes.
And she's called, like, the wolf or something like that. Like, people refer to her as, like, she's the wolf girl, this kind of thing. And so the whole time, I was like, is there a supernatural aspect? And I won't say if there is or if there isn't, but I was thinking about that the whole time. I was like, is she actually a wolf? Like, what is going on? So I was trying to figure out, I'm like, what does Kat mean by this? Who is the true deceiver?
There was this really fantastic realm of like a fairy tale vibe going on, because like we said, like the setting is so rich. It's this, there's this deep forest behind everything. There's this thick snow, this isolated village, and this wolf character who literally is always followed closely by her dog that she refuses to give a name to. Which, that's so cool.
Yeah.
It's so very cool, good vibes.
Right? I understand what Kat meant.
Such cool
it's
vibes.
Like a very vibe-y
and then book. Very vibey. And then you have the old lady character who's very much like, it's like all she does is illustrate rabbits. So you've got literally this wolf kind of hunting this rabbit character. And it's so tense.
Yeah.
This was one of the most tense books I remember reading, actually. And it's not like violent or overly stressful. It's calm, tense, but it has such great tension the whole time that I was like, I actually read it in two sittings.
Oh, nice.
So I started it a couple days ago and I finished it this morning. And it was just, that's all I needed. Two big sittings of like, I was fully in it. Yeah, I was like there in Finland in the snow. And I was like, who's going to get who? Will the rabbit outsmart the wolf?
Right.
Kind of vibe. Yeah, so let me know, what did you think about it? Did you like it? How did you feel about it?
I did. I really liked it. I wouldn't say it's like a new favorite level for me, but it's already one that I want to reread, and I really want to get my hands on a copy now, so I'll be hunting for it when I go to thrift stores and used bookstores and stuff, because now I'm like, that is something I want to have. Like, I really do want to have it, and I don't know, it was interesting, like, the tension, like you said, but I also felt like it was a really good translation. The translation was really good.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because I made a note of that.
Yeah.
Go on.
Like, as I was reading it, I was just like, oh, this feels like the most crisp, like, translation. Like, I have, I don't know, it felt like just perfect. It was so, the writing was very, like, sparse and kind of minimalistic, which I also love. Like, I've talked about this before. I don't really like overly flowery writing. And I feel like this really, like, the writing style fit the kind of bleakness of the setting and the kind of unknown of, like, what is going to happen? Who is going to outsmart who? Who is the true deceiver? You know?
Right. Yeah.
It really all kind of tied together really perfectly. And, like, plot-wise, there's not really a lot going on, but it is still really interesting. Like, every step of the way, you're like, okay, are they going to answer those letters that the children are writing? Like, what is going on? Like, there's just like, so, like, a lot of kind of non-plot, but still engaging. So I had a really good time with it. And yeah, like I said, I already want to reread it because it's such a quick read. And there's so much like kind of going on below the surface that I feel like if you're not really paying attention, you might not catch it all. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's give a shout out to Thomas Teal, who translated this from the Swedish. So now I'm like, was she actually from Sweden?
She lives in Finland, but her
Finland,
mother tongue is Swedish.
And writes in Swedish. Yes. Yeah. I remember it said that she lived in a part of Finland that was still mainly Swedish speaking, which is like really a minority there, I guess.
Yeah.
I totally agree about the translation. I made a note of that myself, and I was just like, it's so we read a lot of translated fiction, and it's so fascinating how, like, you can tell when something is so beautifully translated versus when something feels a bit more clunky or, like, you feel like you're missing out on something. Because, like, I don't know. We can't know. We can't know unless we suddenly learn Swedish. We can't know if this matches Tove Jansson's writing style. Yeah. But what I can know is if it feels really powerful and rich. And I was just like, I can really imagine that this is a perfect interpretation of her writing style, because it felt so powerful and, like you said, so clean and clear.
Yeah.
So specific and no stumbling. It just felt like there was no stumbling with this translation. I was like, masterfully done. I don't know if you remember. I actually brought it here. I don't know if you remember, last year I bought Fair Play by Tove Jansson when I was in New York. Kaylee and I actually picked this one up together. It's a, this one also very autofiction-y. Like, it's a love story between two women. One of them's a writer, one of them's an artist, which is what happened to Tove Jansson and stuff. But he also translates this. I think she translates all of hers.
That's cool. That's like, we have some Japanese authors that are like that with their translators, where they're always paired up, and it like is perfect. I love that.
Yeah, I love that too. In the back here, I wrote, I had a couple notes. I just want to say I loved this book. Like, this maybe is my favorite read of the year so far. Ooh. It was so out of left field. Like, I didn't know what to expect, because obviously this has got put in our laps in such a random way.
I had never heard of it at all.
I was like, well, what's this going to be? I have no idea. And I just ended up feeling, I respected the simplicity of it so much. I was like, this is not a complicated story. It's very few characters, very few settings. Like, it's like this house and that house, and that's it. And like, very clean, but like in the, and that's kind of like why I love Animal Farm so much. Like,
there's,
it's
no fluff.
One setting, no fluff, very short, to the point, but packs such a great punch. And the writing is so good, and the characters are so good. But at the back, I wrote unreliable narrator. Like, if anyone asks me, if anyone ever asks me for a recommendation for an unreliable narrator, this is now going to be the top of the heap, because it truly was a thing where I was like, am I rooting for her or am I not? And there were moments where I really was, and there were moments where I was like, wait, I don't think I know what she's up to. Right? And like, I was doubting her the whole time.
Yeah, but I really like her as the main character. Cool. Like, the main character is very blunt and honest, and that's what the older character, Anna, that's what she ends up, she's like, oh, I feel like I could really trust you because you just say it like it is. Like, there's nothing, like, there's, you're not putting on airs for anyone. It doesn't matter who you're talking to. Like, you're going to tell the truth. And so that was interesting that was kind of established early on. And then throughout the book, you're kind of thinking, well, how much of this is the truth? Yeah, like, you don't really
know.
And
how much can she use that reputation?
Exactly.
Because she knows that everyone trusts her. Oh my God, it's so good.
Yeah.
The other thing I wrote down was, there was a couple of moments, again, this is where the translation really shined. There was a couple of moments of like this seamless movement from third person to first person. Did you notice them?
I didn't.
There was a couple of moments.
There was one moment where I was like, wait, what's happening? Yeah, I noticed it once.
Yeah. There was a couple, I think there was three moments where, like, it's, maybe it was more, but there was a, like, most of the book is in the third person where it's like, she went here, she then did this. But there was a couple moments where it's suddenly Christy saying, like, I didn't know what I wanted to do next or whatever. Yeah. And you're like, whoa, we're in the first person and it's working. Yeah, and you read it for a couple paragraphs and then you're back to the third person again. And you're like, oh, that was so, so masterfully done. So the final thing I wanted to say about it was it reminded me so much of one of my favorite books. And so I think that's a perfect segue for what we wanted to do next, because we thought it would be so much fun to recommend Kat Dennings. Can you believe our audacity? To recommend Kat Dennings some books now that we've read your favorite book. Basing that, if you like this book, we think you might like these other books. How about you start us off, Raylene? What did you pick?
Okay, so I do have kind of a few. And I actually, while we were talking, I thought of one more that I hadn't chosen initially, because I haven't actually finished this book, but I really think that Kat might like it. And that is Drive Your Plow Over the Bones of the Dead by Olga Tokarczuk. Yeah. So this has that fairy tale vibe, has an older woman main character, and is snowy and kind of in a remote village type thing, or not even village, it's just like out in the forest, and there's like only three people who live in houses out there, and it's kind of, it does have that kind of fairy tale vibe to it though, so I would recommend maybe checking that out. It just wasn't for me, but that's okay. But on to the books that I actually really do recommend. I firstly picked Eileen by Otessa Moshfegh.
Okay, well then I will also say I picked Death in Her Hands. That's by Otessa.
I
feel
like I was gonna say like they kind of go together for this. Yeah. It's kind of a mixture of both. I picked Eileen
totally
because one, you've got this unreliable narrator who is quite isolated, but there's also a friendship aspect of this where she, true, Eileen becomes friends with a woman and you kind of don't know what her intentions are necessarily, and things kind of spiral out of control perhaps at some parts. And so I really wanted to recommend this. Also, I guess just realized that it takes place around Christmas, so it's also snowy. I forgot about that vibe. So it has similar vibes, but this is maybe a little darker, but not by a long shot. So that's fun. Tell us why you recommend that.
Yeah, this one is an old woman who is taking a walk in the woods and she finds a note and she thinks that it's a murder, and it's like, again, a really unreliable narrator who's kind of losing it.
Yeah.
And she's like, thinks that things are connected and you're not sure if it's connected. You're not sure if she's like actually seeing clues or not. You can't really trust her. And it's a lot like the old lady in the Tove Jansson.
Yeah.
But also you've got this like forest, a very isolated vibe, mm-hmm, and a very spooky vibe going on. I didn't love this book, but I was like, it's got the vibes. Like, if Otessa Moshfegh told me, like, I was really inspired by The True Deceiver, I'd be like, yeah, I see it.
Totally. My next one is a book called A Jest of God by Margaret Lawrence. Oh. This is a book that I read with my friends for book club last year, and it has like not exactly similar vibes in terms of like vibes and plot, but the main character is a young woman who, kind of similarly to The Blue Castle by Ellen Montgomery, just kind of like feeling lost and is kind of unsure about where her life is going and what's going on. Like, she feels like everybody's trying to control her. Like, her mother, the mother character, is a very controlling figure in this book, but the book is about her kind of coming into her own and realizing like she wants to take control of her life a little bit, which I feel like connects to Anna, the older character in this book. There comes a point where she's like, you know what, I'm gonna take back my life. Like, she feels like things are spiraling out of control and she's like, I'm gonna kind of take it back. And so I feel like A Jest of God also has that kind of like calm, cozy, but like a little bit like something is wrong vibe. So
yeah,
I wanted to recommend that as well. But then the last book I wanted to recommend is Convenience Store Woman by Sayaka Murata.
Really?
I knew we were gonna do this.
I had this one too.
It's just perfect. So we can kind of tag team this, but the reason I picked this was because the main character is also very alone, very isolated.
Isolated.
And the writing style, I feel like, is along the same lines. Like, it's very crisp, clean, straight to the point, no fluff. So that's why I picked this.
Yeah, totally. And it's about kind of a person who's very, like, has one goal in mind and kind of can't stray from it, even though everyone around her is kind of like, what's going
what
on
are you
with
doing?
You?
Yeah.
This one is... I totally agree. I felt like this one, I was like, it's maybe it doesn't exactly align with the vibe, because this is like, the other one's like a dark fairy tale forest. This is like fluorescent lights.
I don't know, I was going to say fluorescent lights of the vibe.
But the character and the isolation and the, there was definitely a similarity there.
Yeah.
Okay, there was two books that I had picked that were kind of beside those. The one that I alluded to earlier, where I said that this book really reminded me of one of my favorite books, is True Grit by Charles Portis.
Good one, yeah.
I really, really saw so many connections between the two. And it really pulls out this trope that I love, which is like a main character with unflinching morals.
Yes.
Who's like, I am so honest and cool and chill and like... what's the word I'm looking for? Like, motivated.
Mm.
I have a mission and I need to get that mission done. Yeah. And the mission's like done out of the sake of loyalty. In this case, it's like, I'm doing something for my brother. In this one, it's I'm avenging my father.
Right.
And it's so good. And again, with this one, because it's set in like the cowboy period, you've got a main character who's also a youngish girl who's trying to do her best.
Yeah.
Because it's set in cowboy times, it's a lot of like walking through the woods and walking in forests and going through landscapes to try and find this guy. I was like, oh, this is exactly.
That is good.
I felt like that one was really good.
Yes.
And this other one, I'm like, okay, this is literally the graphic novel version of The True Deceiver. The Skull by John Classen.
Oh, yeah. Good one.
Right? Yeah. The vibe is perfect with this one.
True.
It's very creepy, spooky, scary. You've got this little girl. Like, this is, John Classen is such a master, but he's like, these are children's books, but they're not they're not just children.
No, they're not for they just transcend for children, that for right? sure.
They transcend. And so this little girl is, I can just imagine that being Christy, you know, or Katri. Sorry, I keep saying Christy. Katri. This is Katri in my brain. Mm. I'm like very kind of spooky, lonely, sad, scared. Then she does this like violent thing in this book where you're like, what just happened?
Yeah.
And it's kind of alarming that, I mean, that's this book, right? Mm-hmm. That is The True Deceiver. I was so excited when I was like, guys, it's The Skull by John Classic.
Yeah, there you go. Well, that's perfect.
All right. Well, those are our book recommendations for Kat. We're just like, if Kat's listening, Kat, if we think you'll like those, if you like this one, but we wanted to do one other thing as well. Get, you know, our favorite thing, like if I had to write down my skill set on a resume, I would put book recommending on there.
Yes. It's been a while since we did this. So this is, we
used to
wild.
Do this on every episode, yeah. But we realized we'd gotten a little too repetitive with it. So this is perfect. I think we're in our element here.
I think so too.
We wanted to do this one more time with the Kamigawa Food Detectives, because here's the nightmare, right?
It's such a funny series of events how this happened.
It's such a funny series of events. I talked about reading it or wanting to start it, or like I just,
you just bought
it,
yeah.
And clearly Kat listened to that episode and then bought this book and then read it.
Yeah.
I'm hoping Kat loved it. And it's possible because a lot of people loved it.
Yeah.
But we'd already, the day before this all went down, recorded the podcast episode where I was like, I didn't really like this book. And so now I'm like, God, that's the nightmare, isn't it? When you mention a book on the podcast and then you end up not really liking it and a bunch of other people went out and bought it.
Yeah.
And I was like, there are so many other cozy books that I would recommend over this one.
Mm-hmm.
So we were like, let's do that too.
Yeah.
So how about you start us off, Raylene? What did you pick for that one?
I had a lot of fun with this. Obviously, I love cat books and I love books about food. So I was kind of like, okay, I got this. Let's lean in. So the first one is one that you're probably also going to mention, which is Before the Coffee Gets Cold by Toshikazu Kawaguchi. This one is perfect for a lot of reasons. I feel like that book wanted to be this book, I think, is the problem. So in Before the Coffee Gets Cold, we've got a cafe that has a kind of magical element. There's this one seat where if you sit down and like drink a coffee there, you'll be transported back in time, and you can kind of take a look at something that happened in your life. You can't change anything in the past, but you can kind of see it and kind of reflect and maybe grow from it. And so you've got four kind of little stories that follow four different people and what they go back and see and what, like, how it affects them. So it does have that reflective aspect that the Kamigawa Food Detectives has, where it's like, okay, I'm thinking about this thing from my past, I want to go back to it, whatever. But I feel like this book, I haven't read that book, but I feel like this does it in a better way, and it's very interesting and a very emotional
book.
Yeah,
I mean, this one, in the bottom of the synopsis for this one, it literally says, it's a mouthwatering celebration of good company and the power of a delicious meal for fans of Before the Coffee Gets
Cold. I mean, it makes
cold.
Sense. It's
so you're rooting
suited.
Back to read the original.
Yeah, I feel like this is a good place to start.
It's even Raylene going for similar colors.
It's true. It's got a cat, the colors.
And the cat. I do love this cover.
I do too. I still kind of want it, even though I know I might not love it. I do want to own that book.
I do want to make clear, if people are listening to this episode and didn't listen to my full review last week, I didn't hate it by any means.
Yeah.
I did enjoy it. And I read the whole thing. I didn't give up on it. Like, I didn't DNF on it. I did enjoy certain aspects of it. I just had quite a few, like, things where I was like, oh, I don't know, this wasn't perfect.
Mm-hmm, totally.
Yeah. Anyways, what else did you pick?
Yes, so the next book I picked is Kitchen by Banana Yoshimoto.
Oh, cool.
Because this one has the food aspect, but also is very character focused, which I think was one of the main issues with the Kamigawa Food Detectives for you. It didn't really focus on the main characters very much. There wasn't a lot of character growth. This one, the main character is a young woman who is orphaned and is kind of feeling lost, just floating through her life. And she gets taken in by her friend and his mom, and they just like hang out, and she loves to cook. And so it has those kind of cozy vibes, but also is about grief and family and all that kind of stuff. So it's a really short book too. But yeah, I don't talk about this book too often, but when I read it, I really, really enjoyed it. But then the last book I wanted to recommend is another one that I feel like is just a perfect recommendation for this. And that is If Cats Disappeared from the World by Genki Kawamura.
Yeah.
This is one that I read a long time ago. I think I read it on like episode 3 or 4 of the podcast. So it's been a while.
Oh, wow.
It's one of my oldest
130
episodes
ago.
People might have forgotten, so I'm bringing it back.
That's
so with
awesome.
This one, The main character is a man who finds out he only has a week to live, I think, or something like that. He finds out he has very little time left. And this guy shows up who's like, hey, you can make a deal with me if you want, where if you eliminate one thing from the world each day, I'll give you an extra day. Like, I'll let you live for one more day. And so he kind of starts by just, like, eliminating small things, well, things that seem small, and then kind of seeing how it, like, affects the world and stuff. And throughout the whole thing, he has a pet cat, and so he's kind of like, what would happen if cats disappeared from the world? Like, what would that do to things? And so it's also kind of about, like, coming to terms with dying. And so it's very, right. It's quite somber and dramatic, but it has that kind of magical element as well. That's like, well, what would happen if this happened? And, like, kind of reflecting on your life and things like that. But it also is a cat book. And I feel like we really needed to lean into a cat book with these recommendations, because the Kamigawa Food Detectives has a cat, but isn't necessarily, like, a cat book. But that's what I'm here for, to recommend the cat books. So there you go.
That, yeah, you truly are the queen of cat books. Yes. Okay. So the ones that I picked also, like we said, Before the Coffee Gets Cold. But then I also did pick Days at the Morisaki Bookshop, which I read last year. And I just flew through. I really breezed through this one. And while I don't think it's a perfect book, it really hit the spot for this genre of cozy Japanese translated. And there was a slight cut there because my plumber came, which is exciting. Real throwback to the beginning of this episode where I said I have a million things that have broken all at once. But yeah, I was in the middle of talking about Days at the Morisaki Bookshop. It hits that sweet spot of a gentle, cozy, happy book where there is not a lot of tension and there isn't a lot of conflict, but you still do have a light and interesting story happen for this main character. Mm-hmm. And it's so cozy because it's set in a bookshop and you've got this, like, great uncle character. I really did enjoy it. And it felt like kind of watching a rom-com where there isn't really a romance, but I just mean where you watch it and you feel content and you're like, that was nice. So this hits that spot. But I had one more, and it is The Hole by Hiroko Oyamada. You know I loved this book. Yes. And me reading this book is what got both of us reading a bunch of this author's books, because we now really like this author. I was like, this isn't the coziest book, but I felt like I would put this right in between The Food Detectives and The True Deceiver.
Ooh, that's a good point. It's the perfect marriage.
This was my bridge book. So I was like, okay, it's got some of this happy and interesting Japanese translated vibes, but it is a little fairy tale-esque. Like, this girl falls through a hole, sort of. Like, there's this, like, weird fairy tale thing going on that goes on in this book.
Right.
But then you've got the, like, spooky, eerie, what the hell's going on of Lone this, woman of the true vibe. Detective,
yeah.
or the true detective, well, true deceiver.
Different vibe.
And I love this book. So I was like, I gotta sneak it in.
You gotta sneak it in.
So there you go. Those are our recommendations. What a fun episode. We had so much fun doing our special buddy read of that other book, of The True Deceiver. But we also had I had so much fun picking out all of these recommendations.
Me too. So. It's been too long, so it was fun to flex that muscle again.
Yeah. This one goes out to you, Kat Dennings. Thanks for thanks for shouting out
our pod. We appreciate you.
And being such a fun sport. This was a really great ep. And we're now going to go record our Patreon mini podcast, The Question Vase, like a Q&A. You see what we did there? where we answer questions that you guys sent us on our Patreon. Our Patreon is the best way to support this pod because we don't run ads. So we don't run ads, Senator, unlike Mr. Zuckerberg. We have our Patreon. So if you want to check it out. But also I wanted to mention that we have hats. We have toques in sale right now. So if you want a peach hat, like our peach hair, again, see what we did there.
Get it while it's
happening. Those are available now. Yeah. So thank you guys so much for watching or listening to this episode. And we will talk to you next week. Bye.